Welcome to Kathleen Can Do It, the DIY podcast celebrating the fun and fails of doing it yourself. I'm Kathleen Martin.
And I'm Kathleen Heaney.
And we're just two Kathleens getting ready for our interview with Claire Paint founder Nicole Gibbons.
And in this episode, we're chatting about Kathleen Martin's living room drapery debacle, and we're phoning a friend. She was our social shout out last episode. Genesee from at Miss Vicious Design. Kathleen, she is one of my favorite accounts to follow for her thrifting vintage furniture skills. She has the best house.
Oh yeah, her home is so unique, and we actually just met her in person again last week at the Haven Conference, yeah. Which was so exciting.
Okay, before we get into it, I have to tell you, I have had my first DIY injury that actually sent me to the doctor.
So it wasn't from when you were running a circular saw with your hair down and loose t-shirt?
No. I didn't fall on top of my circular saw and knock on wood yet. But splinters are no joke, people, because I had one in the cuticle of my pointer finger on my right hand, and I just kind of like scratched it out instead of doing the whole like rubbing alcohol and disinfecting and everything. And I got an infection in my cuticle that was so painful that I had to go to urgent care and they had to prick me with a pin and drain my finger.
Ew.
My finger was huge. It was throbbing. And now I've been on antibiotics for a week. So just as a general PSA for everybody out there doing home projects, don't mess around with splinters. They're a big deal.
What the heck? That is ridiculous. So you just saw your finger just like filling with pus. You're like, oh man.
Yeah, it was the craziest thing. And it hurt like all hell. I thought it would go away, but it didn't. So that's, you know, $85 spent at urgent care that had I been slightly more careful, I wouldn't have had to have spent that.
Oh gosh, that's terrible.
Have you ever like really injured yourself doing anything DIY?
Not off the top of my head, but I'll tell you a story. I've never used a table saw. I actually grew up with a full wood shop in my basement,
wow.
Had a permanent table saw, had all the tools. My dad is very handy, but I, you know, I'll use the bandsaw, I'll use other things, not the table saw.
Yeah.
So we have a portable table saw because Brian is able to use it at work. It's actually, it fits in his work van and he can bring it home.
Yeah.
So he was cutting trim for our dining room and my parents had just left like 1 second previously. And my dad's like, bye, Brian. And Brian's outside on the table saw. He's like, bye, see you. I'm good. Bye, leave. Bye. So I go out there. Brian turns around and his hand is just in blood. I'm like, oh my God, what happened? What's happened? Do we need to go to the hospital? I thought he cut a finger off.
Oh my God.
It was so scary.
Would you still love him if he was missing a finger?
Of course. So what happened was when you use a table saw, there's certain rules. He doesn't always follow them. And the way the wood goes, you're supposed to push it once it gets really close to the blade, you know, push it with a pusher tool.
Yeah, something else that's not your hand.
Also, yeah, so you don't chop your hand off. And also the outfeed is important. So you're never supposed to pull the wood coming out of a table saw, which a lot of people actually do.
Oh, interesting.
It can pinch the wood and do all these things. But anyway, I don't know exactly what he was doing wrong, but whatever happened, the piece of wood that was in the table saw kicked back at him, nicked his finger and shot into his side. So he never touched the blade, but the wood cut his finger and he had a huge cut and huge bruise on his hip from the wood just like back at him.
See, it shows you that you truly can never be too careful when using power tools, because even a professional carpenter like Brian, like stuff just still, it still happens. Like random crap happens all the time.
It's scary. My brother is a woodworker. He has this special table saw that if it senses skin,
yeah,
like they test it out with hot dogs.
Oh, I love those videos. I love where the blade automatically stops the second the hot dog gets a little close.
Yeah. So he actually, it happened. The blade dropped, his finger nicked the blade.
Wow.
And that special table saw saved his finger.
I would love one of those one day, but I don't foresee it in the budget. So for now, I actually just got a mini circular saw.
Mm.
And I'll go into like more detail about how to use it in a different episode, but a DeWalt mini circular saw where the blade is only 4.5 inches or 5 inches. It's perfect for everything that I need. Right now, as it stands for like the small improvements I'm doing in my kitchen, I don't need a huge circular saw and I'm really loving it so far. So maybe I'll do like a head to toe tutorial in a future episode.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Oh, speaking of future episodes, you teased it, our upcoming interview next week with Nicole Nicole Gibbons, the founder of Claire Paint. We're always talking about Claire Paint on this podcast.
I actually have the full Claire fan deck right in front of us. I was showing Kathleen.
Yeah.
So many beautiful curated paint colors from Claire Paint. Kathleen and I have both used them in the past. It's such a good brand. And I think I'm going to paint my living room ceiling a color that is called Good as Gold, which really well matches my gold couch.
Yeah.
And it's a risk because it's an intense mustard, but I feel good about it. We always talk about taking a design to the next level, and I think it's going to make this already over the top room better.
Yum. Mustard. Isn't it your favorite condiment anyway?
No, I'm a ketchup girl.
Oh, okay. I take it back.
Design time.
Okay, so I have a design dilemma. I had pink velvet curtains from IKEA in my living room.
Yeah.
It's the same ones that you have in your bedroom. Uh-huh. And I always felt so about them.
Oh no, do you not like my curtains?
No. I love the curtains and I love them so much that I stole them from the living room and put them in the dining room.
Okay.
I based the whole dining room around the color of those curtains.
Yeah.
I matched the ceiling to the curtains.
Mm-hmm.
But in the living room, I felt like, I don't know, I don't have a ton of pink. Do they make sense? But now that they're gone, I miss these curtains. But I don't know if I want to just rebuy them because when they were there, I wasn't totally sold.
Yeah.
I've been sitting without these curtains for a few weeks now, and I just can't decide what color, what pattern, what to put back. I put up light pink curtains that I had. I don't know if you can tell, but they're gone.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to say, it looks like you don't have anything up right now. Just move your computer just a little bit so I can see your window. Have you considered, since you have like a bench underneath your window, have you considered maybe just doing like a shade, like a roller shade or something? Instead of a curtain?
I have considered that. I've considered everything. So I was like, maybe I should just take the curtain rod down. I want to paint the radiator cover. I have a new custom cushion for the radiator cover, which I love.
Yeah.
It's from a company called Patio Lane. It's amazing. I'm going to talk about that more in a different episode. But yeah, maybe I have no curtains. I don't know.
I have been erring more on the side of team anti-drapery because I really like the clean look of just having a roller shade or a bamboo shade or a natural fabric that like a linen shade that lets light through. And then having really special drapes pack a big punch in only specific rooms. Like maybe only having drapes in your dining room because those are your pink IKEA ones that you love so much and you based, you know, the entire color palette off of them in that room. Maybe you just want to layer two different types of roller shades, like one blackout with a bold pattern and then one linen or one natural bamboo for everyday use.
See, interestingly, I have the total opposite opinion.
Really?
My latest kind of obsession is studying photos from designers. And I think drapery, typically custom in these settings, because I follow high-end designers, is what sets rooms apart.
Okay.
Custom drapery in rich patterns. They typically have an edging band of detail on the edge. I was recently studying a photo from a designer and I was paying attention to the drapery because that's what I'm really interested in.
Yeah.
And we've always said you have to hang your drapery higher than the window frame, wider than the window frame. It makes it look more expensive.
Yeah.
But what they did, they actually started the blinds or the Roman shades or whatever the blind situation was also higher than the window.
Yes.
So that the end of the blind ended kind of at the top of the actual window. So you're still able to see that texture and pattern without obscuring the glass.
I love that idea. Sometimes your blinds, especially if you have like a really funky pattern, they're a focal piece. Like they are essentially an art piece in your room and you don't want to always have them down for them to be seen.
Yeah. And my old ones in here, they were like probably 10 inches long. I always said it looked like a diaper. They were ugly, but it blocked a lot of the light. Now I just have this retractable roller one, which is like fine, but also not great. It's not adding to anything. I have seen really good examples of a beautiful patterned, well done Roman shade.
Yes.
With a painted trim.
Beautiful.
And no drapery. But it's because the blind itself is super thought out and maybe the trim is what they're trying to highlight. So that's why they don't have a curtain or drape, or it's in a kitchen or something like that. So I'm just thinking about it endlessly and I can't decide.
So, you know, we've been working through this list from Martha Stewart, 10 interior design tips to make your house look more expensive. And she actually has like a whole section on drapery. She says custom drapery is a splurge, but it makes a home look finished and luxe. Like, we definitely know that. Fake a custom look by buying silk or velvet panels from a variety of retailers and installing the rods yourself.
Those velvet IKEA curtains, they do have a very high-end look.
Yeah.
And if you want to take it a step further, going somewhere like Amazon or a local fabric store, and you can get the edging and you can make it look more custom with a store-bought panel.
You know, a mistake that I made last year when I was helping my mom pick out drapery, we picked out this really cool orange pattern for her dining room, but they're polyester and it just doesn't look good. It's, you have to choose something in a natural fabric.
And they're short. She wouldn't let you make them long.
My mom has like all of these old fashioned ideas about drapery and curtains where she wants everything to kind of just like skim the windowsill. And I'm like, no, we'll make the house look bigger if it like goes all the way from the ceiling to the floor. And I'm always kind of like in a fight with her, but that's a mistake that I won't make again. I would never buy a drapery panel that is polyester. Something like linen, even if it's not the right color, you can always dye it and it will look 100 times more expensive and more custom than a polyester panel.
Okay, here's my beef though. So I have very expensive, to me, linen curtains or drapery. I always say curtains. It's very hard for me to say drapes.
I think curtains are the short ones. Drapes are the long ones. I know. Fine. It's fine. It's interchangeable. Whatever.
I have long linen drapes. Ew. Sounds disgusting. And they always look wrinkled. I spent so long steaming them.
And they still
and they always
wrinkled.
Look wrinkled. And I hate it. And I took them down. Linen wrinkles so easily. And I just, maybe if I had an actual iron, which I don't, I could have gotten them more crisp. But they're just always a little bit too textured for me.
Yeah, girl. Time to invest in an iron. Sometimes when I'm taking photos of my bed, I iron my duvet.
Well, I have an iron, but I don't have an ironing board.
Oh, that's like $15 on Amazon. Girl, what are you waiting for?
I don't like to iron, so that.
Speaking of that list, Kathleen, that we have been working through, the one from Martha Stewart. Are you a Martha Stewart fan?
Yeah, of course. She like really works super hard all the way to the top. She overcame jail. How could you not?
I know. So she has this list that we've been working on for a couple of episodes now, her top 10 tips how to make your home look more expensive, which is something that Kathleen and I are always talking about. So we're going to phone a friend, Genesee from at Miss Vicious Design. I hope she picks up.
Hello!
Genesee!
Yay!
Hi, Kathleen!
Thanks for picking up your phone to speak with us today on Kathleen Can Do It.
I am so excited to be here.
We're calling you today because one of Martha Stewart's top 10 tips to make your house look money, money, money is bringing in vintage furniture. And there is nobody better at finding those unicorns in a pile of old, dirty, plastic mall ride ponies than you.
Well, thank you for saying that. I appreciate it. My goal in life is to make garbage look nice.
I love that. Where do you start when you're looking for a vintage piece? Are you kind of just always browsing, or do you go out with something in mind?
So because it is my job, I'm always looking, and that's how I find the gems, right? Like that's how they come up. It's not like I'm going to search the specific thing and I'm going to find it. It's like the random stuff just comes out of nowhere and when I least expect it. But I look everywhere. So I'm thrifting. I'm on Facebook Marketplace. I'm going to estate sales. And people know that I love dead people's stuff. So they call me when their grandma passes away. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. And thank you for thinking of me because I love your grandma's things.
It's like, oh, I'm so sorry for your loss. But did Nana have anything mid-century modern?
I'm so sorry she passed. What style did she have?
Yeah. Was Yaya into Hollywood Regency?
So like, okay, if you're looking for something specific, I always say, okay, look on Facebook Marketplace because there's key terms that you can look at and search for. You're like, okay, I want a vintage couch. I want mid-century modern. I want these things. I'm going to search specifically. And usually when I'm searching specifically, I end up maybe paying a little bit more, right?
Yeah.
Not a ton. I can always score. You just never know when those are going to pop up. But thrift stores, you never know what you're going to walk into. Like, you have no idea what's going to be there that day. You know, you have no idea what's going to be there later that day. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. So like, some of my scores have come up so randomly that I didn't expect it. I found my headboard, which is just so unique and so crazy.
Oh, yes. Describe that for us. We talked about your headboard last episode.
Oh, yes, yes. So it is a carved wood headboard from Spain. That, yeah, it's crazy. It's marked Spain on the back. The house I got it from was this, like, this amazing house that's on a tree-lined street that's in a ton of movies. And yeah, it was decorated in the 60s. Like, they had bedrooms that everyone's bringing this back, but where it was like pattern on pattern on pattern. So the bedding was the same pattern as the wallpaper, as the curtains, as like everything. Mm. It was like everything was done all out in the 60s and then never changed.
Wow.
Ever.
Time capsule.
And this headboard, they said, was their mother's prized possession. And I'm like, how in the world are you getting rid of it? But okay, it is now my prized possession. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
She bought it from a boutique in New York in the 60s. And they had it shipped here. Oh, and it's just, it looks Moroccan.
It does.
It has like all this dark carved wood. It looks like a big cathedral. It's so magnificent. It's a king size headboard, you guys. I had a queen bed at the time. I had no intention of getting a new bed at all. And I saw it. I had actually posted that day. Like, do you guys ever get ads for first dibs?
Oh, all the time.
So they always pop up in my Facebook Marketplace feed. And first dibs is like insanely expensive, right? It's just like astronomical.
I know.
And like this $17,000 bed pops up. And I was like, this is the most magnificent thing I've ever seen. So I share it on Instagram. And I'm like, you guys, have you seen this bed? And a friend of mine is like, dude, there is a headboard like that for sale locally. We have another app. It's similar to Facebook Marketplace, but it is done by our local news station. It's weird. I don't know, but it's where I score a lot. I'm in Utah. So it is in, I think it's Utah, Idaho, Wyoming. There's like right around me, and it's called KSL. And that's the app that I love.
So cool.
So she sent it to me. And of course I was like, okay, I'm buying this immediately.
How far did you have to drive to get it?
It was not far. It's like 20 minutes away.
Wow.
It was super close. And it had been on there for a minute too. So I was just shocked. Like, how is this still on here? How has nobody grabbed this? But then I get it and I tell my husband, I'm like, okay, well, I guess we're redoing our room. And I guess we have to build a platform bed to match this. Because the headboard doesn't have anywhere to attach to it, right? Like, it has to have a standalone bed. And I'm like, well, I need to make a bed that matches this stuff. And then the style just screamed for itself that I had to paint the walls like a terracotta. And Yeah,
it's a whole thing. It snowballs, Kathleen, and I totally understand that.
Oh, yeah.
It does snowball. And like, that's, I feel like that's the power of the thrifted piece. You don't know what you're going to get. And when it shows up, it kind of tells you the direction to go in.
Absolutely. So question, this is your full-time job, but for us, just interior design enthusiasts that are trying to make our homes more beautiful, how often would you recommend going to these stores? Like, how often do you go? Like you said, it's always changing. Because I don't go as often as I should.
I don't even go as often as I should. Lately, I just haven't had as much time. I used to go a couple times a week. And I would go to the thrift stores like 2 days a week. I would go to estate sales every Friday. And then I would go to estate sales most Sundays. I look on Facebook Marketplace every single day. Like, that is just an addiction. I'm on there. I can't help but be on there.
What are your favorite terms to search on Facebook Marketplace?
Okay, so I have this like couch obsession, and I don't know why. I just have this couch obsession. So I search vintage couches and I just save everyone. Yeah. And I really love to search vintage floral couches. Like, they don't work in a lot of spaces, but I love seeing them. And like, I keep seeing them for free. And I show my husband every time. I'm like, I just want a warehouse of vintage floral couches where I can just save them. I can just save all the floral couches.
I know.
It's ridiculous.
I know.
It's ridiculous.
I relate to that. I have a basement of coffee tables because I was saving them all. And now yes. They're just in the basement.
You yes. know, I often think about having a warehouse where, Genesee, like you said, you can buy these things, save them, and then wouldn't it be cool to rent them out to filming companies? So yes. They still get to be seen, but you always get them back.
yes. Like rentals, whatever you want them for. Or just come do a photo shoot in here with 5 million vintage floral couches. Yeah. I don't know.
But if you're wealthy enough, people do swap out major furniture pieces. They're like, okay, it's fall, time for the fall floral.
Yeah.
Or not even wealthy enough, just if you have the storage for the extra couches.
Yeah. I mean, not that many generations ago, our grandmothers and great-grandmothers, they were swapping out rugs and drapery for different seasons. I feel like that's something that people don't do as often now, just because everybody's too busy as it is. But Genesee, do your local thrift stores, do they know you by first name when you walk in?
Some of them know me. They recognize me. The one, oh my gosh, there's this one. I bought a giant brass dolphin. It's so random. So every time I walk in, it's the dolphin lady. And I'm like,
you're like, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, sure. You should be building these relationships so they know when something cool comes in, you get like a text on the side, like, on the down low, we just got a coffee table shaped like a turtle's back. Come in ASAP.
Yeah, I need to foster those relationships a little bit better.
You need to slip them a 20.
I know there's some thrifters that do. Like there are with some thrift stores that they get calls from. I have friends that thrift and go often and will thrift for me too.
Wow.
So they send me pictures and they'll say, hey, do you want this? And that's helped a lot. I think going to the thrift store, okay, so in anything, the early bird gets the worm, right? Mm-hmm. So you go early, the shelves have been restocked. However, I have been noticing they have been restocking so much better, at least here, throughout the day. So there's never a wrong time to go, right? Mm-hmm. Like you go, you never know what you're going to find. There's always going to be new stuff. Just go. When you have a second, run in. Even if you don't have a long time to like peruse, do like the main sections that you really like and just run through. Facebook Marketplace, yeah, like look every day, of course. Save. Use the save button. Mm-hmm. That is a huge tip. That save button, whether if somebody has it posted for like $4,000, it doesn't matter. You save it because it will show up the next time somebody posts one for $200.
Wow.
Right. Or if that $4,000 person is like, I need this gone, they drop it, you're the one that's notified for it.
That's a good tip. My sister actually just lost her unicorn piece on Facebook. She was so sad. She wanted this vintage European rounded console, like, I don't even know what you call it. Like, it's just rich people like side furniture, like, but has a beautiful marble top. And it came up. She's been saving them from actually... A tip, do you follow A Glass of Bovino?
Of course. Elisa
she is a marketplace queen. And she actually recommends like saving all throughout the country, which is interesting.
Oh. Yes.
So she did this. This piece came up on sale for $250. And my sister's like, these are between $5,000 and $20,000. So she's like, I will give you $600 and I will give you a deposit. And the person's like, are you serious? She's like, yes, I need this. He's like, okay, great. And then overnight, he's like, sorry, I sold it for $700. And she's like, I would have paid $8,000. Like, I would have paid $1,000.
Oh, no. Oh, that's
oh,
the
my
worst.
Goodness.
She was so sad.
That's the worst. That's the worst feeling. And was she looking at, was she wanting to get one that's out of her area?
She's willing to travel, like not super far, but like she was just saving from all over just to inform the algorithm, like, I want this item.
Right. Was it local to her?
Oh, it was fairly local. I think it was like an hour away.
Okay. So my biggest tip that I always share on my Instagram is be willing to go immediately. I know that sounds insane. I know it's not feasible in most cases. And I know a lot of people work. I know you can't just up and leave. But my biggest tip is do not wait. great, you will lose it. I promise right. you, if it is good, you will lose it if you don't go immediately. If you go immediately, you will be securing that and you don't have to have that anxiety. Because right now, Facebook Marketplace really is a seller's market.
Oh, interesting.
Like buyers, you just never know if they're going to flake on you or drop you or up your bid to somebody else. You just never know what they're going to do. But what I tell people all the time on my Instagram is go immediately. Do not wait, because you never know if in the morning they're going to say they sold it for more right. to somebody else. And I know it's not convenient. I feel like yeah. that's one of those things that I would pull a family emergency for. Family emergency for a console. I've got to go. Something happened to my mom. I'm meeting her at the U-Haul place to grab a truck. Thanks.
Yeah. And she has a guy that like was going to drive for her, but she thought the next day was fine. Oh, so no, that makes total sense. Like drop everything and run.
Well, especially for the unicorn pieces. Mm. Okay. Like right. there's some that are like, oh, whatever. But like, if it's that piece that you know that you've been looking for forever and you can't live without, go now.
Right.
Do not wait.
So speaking of unicorn pieces, I feel like the three of us, we're design minded and we have a pretty good idea of, an antique piece of furniture, vintage piece of furniture when we see it, that it's worth money. But Genesee, for somebody who maybe is just getting started working on incorporating and thrifting vintage items in their home, what tips can you offer? Like, what should someone look for in a piece of furniture to know like, oh, this is good or is this bad?
One tip is to look for any labels.
Okay.
Like that'll help you to be able to at least look it up and see the value of it. Mm-hmm. I always look for quality wood. Like if it's wood, you know, it's good.
Yeah.
Different fabrics kind of give you a clue if it looks high end.
Yeah.
I think it just takes time, trial and error. But what I say to people, you know, not everything in my house is super valuable. Some things like, yeah, they are, but mostly I just bring in things I love. So if it's sparking a joy in you, if you're seeing it and you're like, oh my gosh, this is so beautiful, I love it, bring it home. You can make anything you love work in a space. I promise if you keep with a color scheme or a feel, it will work. It will work in the color scheme. My living room that I am in right now, I have mid-century, I have 90s, and I have Victorian furniture in one room. And it's because I've kept the same color scheme that makes it work. I didn't stick to one style. That's not me. I like to bring in all the things that I love. But if you love it, you can make it work.
Yeah, that's what matters, right? It's like, that's why some people who have something really expensive would never sell it because they love it so much. Like those things that you find, they're like, oh, I bought this for $10 and turns out it's $5,000. You're like, but I love it so much, I'm not getting rid of it. Or the opposite, it's a piece of garbage that someone threw out. You're like, I love this so much and you cherish it.
Right. Or like an heirloom, like if you get grandma's old stuff and you actually keep it, you know, it means something. And that's what you should have in your house, is things that mean something to you, mm-hmm. or that spark joy, or that make you excited to be in that space, because your space should be a space that recharges you, that you feel good in. And I mean, I've been sharing a lot about this, and you guys mentioned it in your last episode about that HGTV article.
Yeah.
And you should be surrounded by things you love, no matter what that is for you, you know, but it should be the things that you love. So I always tell people, if you're struggling to incorporate vintage, stick with a color scheme. Mm. Just stick with a color scheme in the room. And that's how you can make things kind of work together. And I mean, especially woods. Woods are really easy. And if you can incorporate woods, white and black, in almost any color scheme. So that does help to kind of stay and make the room cohesive, I guess.
What are your two favorite colors to pair together?
Black and gold. Black and gold are my colors. I just love them so much. The moody black and then the gaudy gold. Yep. There's just something about it. I can use it everywhere. And then I always pair it with white, because white is just like such a good base. People will look at my house and think that, oh, you use so much color, but I really don't. I use color and furnishings so that I can switch them out very frequently. I don't do as much color on my walls.
Same, girl. All my walls are white and no one gets that. They're like, your house is so colorful. I'm like, actually, I've never painted a wall of color.
Yeah. Because I do find those gems so often, when I find a new rug that's a different color, I can swap it out and I don't have to do anything else except for maybe change some throw pillows or something. But
what's your favorite white paint to use?
My go-to that's all around my house is Polar Bear White by Bear. Mm. It's like a nice crisp white, but it's not stark. But it's a very crisp, clean white. And it goes really well with my ceilings, with baseboards that are more like pure white. Mm-hmm. You can't notice a difference, but it has a slight creaminess to it so that it's not too stark.
Talk to us about your Ram's Head dining room table.
Y'all, this was one of those drop everything and go right now. Yeah. It was so crazy. The funny thing is it was another friend that sent it to me. She'd seen it and she was like, this friends. Is out here. I know. That's why. Tell all your friends that you love old crap and they will let you know. She saw it and it had been listed on that same site that I was telling you about. It had been listed on there for a month and it was 29 days. At 30 days, it expires. Like,
oh, wow.
It goes away. And she sends it to me and I'm like, what the hell is she sending me? Because they were like paired with these cornflower blue fully upholstered chairs. And I was like, what is this? And she went to look at it and was like, this thing is way too big for my house. There is no way. So then she sent me photos of it that are like way better, that like you could actually see what it was. And she's like, you have to own this, please. The owner was moving the very next day to Florida.
Oh, wow. My God.
And he said that they were going to take it with them if it didn't sell. So I was like, okay, we'll come right now. And it was like an hour and a half away.
Did it fit in your car? Did you have to rent a U-Haul? How did that work?
I have a truck just for this. I am not missing out on something because of that.
That makes sense. Yes, I mean, have a truck. You're a reseller for a living. So I guess you have to own a truck.
Yes. Yep. It's mandatory. So we took the truck. But even the truck, like I didn't want to put the Ram heads on top of the glass. So we put them in the front seat and I had to sit in the tiny truck back seat, like shoved into a corner with my legs like up for an hour and a half drive home. And my husband's like, I hope this is worth it. And I'm like, it is worth every minute. But so the glass on the top, it's like 7 feet by 4 feet. So this is like a giant table.
Yeah. Wow.
And it's like an inch thick. And I've moved a lot of glass tables, but this one must be way thicker. And it was me, my husband, this man who was like 70 years old, and his wife who was in a sling. And y'all, it's 9 o'clock at night. I'm an hour and a half away. I don't have like a phone, a friend that can come over. And it took us over an hour to get the glass out of the house. I was terrified we were going to break it or break something. Just getting it out. I feel like my husband had to like mostly carry it himself. It was so hard to get out.
So heavy.
Hundreds of pounds. Like
I'm
so fragile.
I'm sitting here with my mouth open and I'm like reminding myself this is a podcast. I need to make noise.
No, wow. I can't imagine because I thrifted a coffee table that was like 3 foot square and the glass was a half inch thick. And that is so heavy. So the fact that it was 7 feet, it must have been, oh my gosh.
4 inches thick? Is that what you said?
It's 1 inch thick. Like this thick and it's 7 feet by 4 feet. Woo. So it really is like, and I have a marble dining table. It's heavier than the marble.
Wow.
But getting it out of the house, you should have seen us. We were like a circus because we had to go up like a couple steps. His wife was like pushing a dolly under it. And then we'd like, shit, it was a nightmare, but like worth it. But I was like this, I really had to work for it. Like I had to work to get this thing home.
You can never move because it's just staying where it is. Like you have to stay with that table.
It's not going anywhere. I don't know what else to do.
Well, so unique though. Have you seen others?
You can find them on Cherish.
For $1 billion, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah.
How much do they sell for on Cherish?
I saw them priced between like 10 to 20,000.
Oh my God. Chesty, holy mackerel.
It's so crazy.
Glass is expensive.
Yes. And some of them, people are even just selling the heads and saying, like, get your own glass because it's not worth, like, shipping it.
Yeah.
I've seen anytime somebody sees one at an estate sale or, like, at an antique shop or something, they send it to me. So I get sent these every once in a while because they're like, oh, my gosh, I found your table. I originally had been looking for the coffee table version because there's a coffee table version of this. And I had wanted it for, like, 5 years. And oh my gosh, I send my friend who is a vintage clothing reseller. I send her this listing for vintage clothing. She goes to this estate and it's right by my house. And she's like, you should probably come here too. There's good stuff. So I go in her pile is a glass ram head coffee table. And I was like, where'd you get this? Are you buying this? Can I buy this? I want this. I really need this. And she's like, oh, I've been looking for it for years. And I was like, me too.
Oh my goodness.
And I had sent her this listing, but it was fine. She had it. It's fine.
It's like when you tell someone your baby name and they're pregnant at the same time and they steal the baby name from you.
Yes. However, she didn't know I had also been looking for it. So okay. I can't blame her. I guess
that's fair. Genesee, before we bid you adieu, you've shared so much amazing, wonderful information with us today. This is an uncouth question to ask, but what is the most you've ever made reselling a piece of vintage furniture? And you don't have to answer this. You don't. You can
say. No. I'm an open book. So a lot of things, like I have a lot of friends that have made insane amounts of money on things, but a lot of things I buy, unless I'm putting them on things of Cherish or First Dibs, I'm not making a ton of money. Yeah. But I've made like $1,000 off of a rug.
Wow.
Nice.
So that, I mean, I'll take $1,000.
Oh, hell yeah.
But a lot of things I buy is more because I think it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I should probably be more money conscious and be more about how much you can make on things. But I just have this soft spot in my heart for the pretty old stuff, whether it's worth money or not.
Do you ship countrywide?
No.
Genesee. I was just going to say.
It's too hard. I hate the post office.
I was just going to say, shout out where people can buy your treasures online.
I do need to work on this. I hate shipping more than anything on the planet. I think it's the most awful experience for me. So what my goal is this year is to hire somebody to maybe do it for me, the shipping part, so that I can offer things online. But I do sell locally in Salt Lake City, Utah at Salt and Honey Market and at Strawberry Mansion. They're both stores on 9th South. And if you're in Utah, you know about the 9th and 9th District. It's so adorable. It's so cute. It's so local. And I do sell there locally, but I share on my Instagram every day thrifting trips and all kinds of thrift and DIY adventures at Miss Fish's Design on Instagram.
Oh, well, Genesee, thanks so much for joining us today. Gentle listeners, you have to check out Genesee's profile. It's at Miss Vicious Design. Genesee has one of the best and most unique styles on DeGram, as the kids say. Genesee, thank you so much. And I hope that we get a chance to talk to you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
So wherever you listen to this pod, please rate, review, and subscribe. 5 stars is the best. Helps us move up in the ranks. We've been ranking in Denmark lately, which is cool with me.
And Australia.
Oh, I know. Who is listening to us from Australia? If you have any questions about interior design or home decor or need help solving an interior problem in your house, send us an email, hello@KathleenCanDoIt.com.
You can follow me, Kathleen Martin, @CreeAColorfulLife.
And me, Kathleen Heaney, @KathleenLovesColor.
You can leave us a voicemail. Our number is 201-378-3378.
And if you have family or friends who also like interior design and just, you know, interest in topics that we're talking about, please let them know about this podcast. We are looking to grow our Kathleen Can Do It fam.
Don't forget to join our Facebook group. Lots of fun happening over there. Search Kathleen Can Do It DIY and Design Podcast and you'll find us.
And until next time, don't forget, if Kathleen can do it, you can do it too.